This is Upstate's Health Link on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Melanoma is the most serious type of skin cancer and the leading cause of death from skin disease. Worldwide, doctors diagnose about 160,000 new cases of melanoma each year. Well, here with more on this deadly disease and what can be done about it is Dr. Scott Albert. He's assistant professor of surgery at Upstate Medical University, specializing in surgical oncology. Welcome, Dr. Albert. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So I understand you're kind of new on the staff here at Upstate. Tell us about what you're doing in this whole field of surgical oncology.
Sure. Yeah, I am actually was a resident and did my medical school training in Syracuse at Upstate Medical Center. And
so you're not completely new.
Not completely new, exactly. But I actually went to Ohio State for 2 years after I completed my training here. And so now I'm back since August of this year. And my training was in surgical oncology, which is an exciting field in my opinion. But we get a lot of specialty training in cancers, including melanoma. But we do training in breast cancer. And
so as a surgical oncologist, you're involved in basically performing surgical procedures on people who have cancer, basically.
Yes. Part of the training is not only the surgical aspects, but how to coordinate care with patients who have cancers. Because as most people know, the treatments are becoming more complicated and include multiple physicians. So it's not just the surgeon, but, you know, knowing about what the medical oncologist needs to do and radiation oncologists. And
all of that sounds to me will be kind of coordinated in a really very grand way in the new cancer center that Upstate is putting together.
Yes, I think part of the goals of cancer centers is really to provide multidisciplinary care. So, you know, kind of a one-stop shop, really, for cancer. And, you know, surgeons are a piece of that puzzle, and a lot of times, you know, having surgeons be involved allows the timing of surgery to be better coordinated with other therapies. So I think, you know, you need a facility and a framework really to get all these physicians to be involved
on the same page,
on the same page, and in one location.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense, and it sounds like a very good scheme. So let's help us understand melanoma, because obviously, that is a very scary kind of skin disease that can just kind of come upon you, so to speak. So what exactly is it?
Yeah, melanoma is a cancer that's one of the most aggressive types of skin cancer. It's typically involves, you know, some of the cells that we find in the skin that become abnormal from a variety of reasons. But really then the concerning part of melanoma is that this is a type of skin cancer that can spread more frequently than other types.
Do we know what causes it to develop?
We have a pretty good idea, but there are some, you know, missing pieces to that puzzle. I mean, we know that genetics and family history play a role, but also we know UV exposure also has a role. You know, patients who are fair-skinned obviously are more commonly seen with melanoma.
So that was my next question. So who in this kind of category of people are most at risk? Do you worry mostly about fair-skinned people developing it? And if so, is it gender-related, age-related?
Yeah, clearly, you know, fair-skinned people are at the highest risk. There are some subtle differences between age, gender, but for the most part, it can affect that whole group of patients that have fair skin and are predisposed to sunburns and such.
So if you've burned a lot in your life, is that something that would be putting you at higher risk?
Yeah, clearly we know that sunburns, especially blistering sunburns, puts you at increased risk for skin cancer, melanoma being one of them. So obviously, you know, people that have had sunburns, especially even as a younger person, you know, and, you know, as a teenager, that can definitely increase your risk for melanoma down the road.
Yeah, and years ago, especially when I was growing up, we knew nothing about UV protection. You know, we had no sunscreens. If anything, we were out there putting on iodine and baby oil and using reflectors to attract the sun.
Yeah.
So we're all kind of suffering. Many people in my age range are suffering from that behavior because we were really ignorant. But today, one hopes that people are more aware of how important it is to protect themselves from this, you know, undue amount of UV exposure.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think maybe part of the contributing factors to why this is on the the rise, you know, melanoma incidence is rising, is UV exposure at a time when people didn't understand the actual, you know, negative side effects of, you know, tanning and blistering sunburns.
Strikes me as so odd, though, that even knowing all the things we now know, things like tanning beds and tanning salons are more popular even than when I was growing up. And you would think people would have the common sense, perhaps, or the knowledge to avoid those things, but people are still doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the evidence is becoming more and more stronger that, you know, tanning beds do have a negative influence on people and increases their risk of skin cancer. The problem is that, you know, this incidence may have a delayed effect, meaning, you know, it doesn't happen a year or two later, but several years or 10, 20 years down the road. And it's sometimes a little bit hard for people to understand, you know, their short-term gains can be negative down the road.
They don't see the causal relationship. It's not
exactly
as obvious. So where does it show up on the body? I mean, is it mostly in areas that have been exposed to the sun, like the back, the legs, the arms, something like that?
Yeah, by far and away, the more common sites are sun-exposed areas, you know, the extremities, the trunk, the back. Occasionally, you can get other rare melanomas, but because sun exposure has such a effect on having an increased risk for melanoma, that's usually where we see them.
Are they also thinking, or at least postulating, that the depletion of the ozone layer has played a role in the increased incidence as well?
We think so. You know, definitely in Australia, there's a very high incidence of melanoma, and actually a lot of excellent research comes out of Australia. They've really kind of really tried to improve the care of melanoma. So we know that the ozone layer is thinner in Australia, so perhaps, you know, increased sun exposure and increased UV exposure is definitely probably an influence.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Scott Albert, and we're talking about melanoma. So early detection is crucial, am I correct?
Correct. You know, melanoma that's localized to just the skin can be cured essentially with surgery. You know, melanoma that spreads to other areas obviously has a much more worse impact than melanoma that's just localized to the skin.
So clearly early detection is crucial in
Absolutely.
Preventing, you know, death or severe complications.
Absolutely.
So how do you know, what are the signs or the symptoms in terms of what you should be looking for?
Sure. Usually, you know, melanoma develops on the skin in areas where there's sun exposure, and signs and symptoms are mostly just being aware of changes to your skin is key. You know, self-awareness for a lot of medical conditions is important. So if you see an area that's a new mole or changing color to a mole that had existed, or ulceration or bleeding from an area that looks like a discoloration or something on the skin that just doesn't go away, those are things that we should, you know, be aware of and kind of bring to the attention of your primary care physician.
And most people, I think, these days, or from what I've read, have on their bodies sometimes between 10 and up to 40 moles. I mean, it's kind of a natural thing. So what are the unusual things about moles? I read somewhere there's this nice kind of acronym, A, B, C, D, E, in terms of what to look for. Can we just quickly run through those?
Sure.
So what's A?
A is asymmetry.
So that means that if it's not perfectly round or it has some kind of odd, irregular shape.
Exactly, yeah. If it looks abnormal, you know, if it has kind of different colors or abnormal appearance to it, if it's not, like you said, perfectly round, that's something that would raise our index of suspicion of
and
this being abnormal.
B, I saw, was something like a scalloped border. I mean, something, again, going along with the line of something not really kind of a round mole.
Exactly, yeah.
C is a change in color, which you've already alluded to. D is diameter. So does that mean it has to be larger than a certain thing? I mean, if it's growing or looks like it's larger than a quarter inch?
Yeah. Diameter, you know, obviously something that's growing rapidly, you know, that's something that we would want to know about. So, yeah, there's no exact cutoff in terms of diameter size, right, and size, but something that's generally a little bit larger we'd want to know about.
And then E, excuse me, is for evolving, and it's, and what you just said earlier is look for changes over time. If something on your body has been there a while and then it's starting to look a little funky and changing, that's a sign that something might be happening.
Yep. If the that area, that mole's evolving, and if it's becoming more elevated, those are things that we would want to know about.
How about things like scaliness or itching, that kind of thing? Do those play a role too?
Itching and ulceration, really. So if that area looks ulcerated, or if you, if it's kind of bleeding or something like that, that's something that we would definitely be concerned about.
So what do you do? I mean, obviously we all have moles, and some, I think the hard part is some of those moles are located in areas we can't visually see very easily, if it's on our back or on our buttocks, or, you know, somewhere where we're not really seeing it every day.
Yes.
So hopefully you have somebody in your family who can help you.
Yeah, someone should, if someone you have can take a look at those areas, or if, you know, once in a while you can use a mirror to just kind of take a look. But generally, if you have an area that's concerning, you know, you'd want to bring that to the attention of your primary care doctor, or if you have a dermatologist, let them know. And usually, based on what they think it looks like, you know, we would do a biopsy of that area.
So that at that point they would determine whether in fact it was melanoma, and then obviously there has to be surgical procedure or surgical excision or something like that.
Yeah, generally the next step, you know, if you find a concerning mole, is to biopsy that, and that would tell us whether or not it's a melanoma. Melanoma is largely treated with surgery, and we really rely on the pathologist and the dermatologist to look at the mole to see how deep the mole is, if it is a melanoma, because the depth of invasion is really vital to kind of our surgical treatment.
So you really need to get everything out.
Yes, eventually.
In terms of being able to cure the patient, you need to be able to remove all of the so-called diseased tissue.
Correct.
Right. So I understand that, I don't want to run out of time, but I understand you're involved in a potentially new program that's in the works right now, a melanoma program at Upstate Medical University. Tell us about it.
Yes. You know, one of my interests when I came here was melanoma. And so we are developing, as part of our new cancer center, a melanoma program, which is a multidisciplinary care program where we're getting surgeons and medical oncologists and dermatologists, pathologists to all be involved in the treatment of patients with melanoma. These patients can be complex, especially if they have a melanoma that's, you know, more involved, or, you know, would spread to other areas. We would need to get multiple people involved. So that's really the goal of this program, is to kind of have everyone treated in one location with multiple people involved in the care.
So who's eligible for this kind of thing? Would this be open to the general public?
Yes,
or would you need a referral from a primary care physician or a dermatologist?
My understanding is generally, you know, you just, like any referral, you would need a referral from your, you know, physician, or you can self-refer yourself to this program.
So the program is not yet in existence, but hope very shortly, as the new cancer center kind of unfolds, this will be a really strong element of the services offered.
Yeah, this is one of the plans with the new cancer center, is really to provide a program that can treat, you know, complex skin cancers. So this is still in evolution.
Well, we're so pleased that you're back here at Upstate Medical University. Obviously, you're a great asset for us. My guest has been Dr. Scott Albert. He's assistant professor of surgery at Upstate Medical University, specializing in surgical oncology. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.